Well, our final critter is probably one of the best known bioluminescent species. It's the anglerfish, particularly the family Ceratidae, also known as the sea devils, which is a pretty good name because they are these ugly, ugly deep sea fish with the long maneuverable lure on their heads that glows at the end. I don't know if you've seen Finding Nemo, but the big ugly fish that they find in the deep sea with the little light that Dory and Marlin see. Yeah, so that's an anglerfish essentially.
Edie actually said when I was talking to her that she's really cross. She loves that they had that fish in Finding Nemo, but its eyes are the eyes of a fish that's been brought back up to the surface and they're popping out. So all they needed to do was basically have a chat with a scientist who'd say, that's not quite right. Never mind.
What a shame. Well, okay, so the lure, the sort of lure with the light on the end of these anglerfish is made up of a spine that has migrated throughout evolution from being attached to the front of their dorsal fin to be above their head. And it's completely mobile and it can be waved around in all directions to lure prey. But it may possibly also be used to attract a mate, which I'll talk about in a bit. The very end of the lure is full of bioluminescent bacteria called photobacteria. So these fish don't bioluminesce in the same way as the crystal jellies. They bioluminesce in a similar way to the squid. They attract these bacteria that then enter the bulbous end of the lure through pores. And once they're inside, they gain nutrients and protection from being inside their host. And the fish gains the ability to use the bacteria's bioluminescence. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Now, while the lure is used just like a fishing lure, hence the name anglerfish, to lure prey, there is the suggestion that they might also attract mates by using them as well. Only the females have the lures, and the sexual dimorphism, the difference between males and females of the species of these fish, is extraordinary. The females are reasonably large, you know, they can be from a few centimetres in the smaller species to over a metre in the case of Kreuer's deep sea anglerfish. But the males are tiny. In Kreuer's anglerfish, while the female can be over a metre long, males are generally only about 14 centimetres long. And in the smaller species, the males are so tiny that originally researchers that brought these fish up to the surface thought they were some kind of weird parasite living on the female specimens that they caught. So possibly, along with their really acute olfactory senses, the males can find the females by following their lures. And they then attach to the female permanently, actually fusing with her bloodstream and gradually atrophying, so just sort of dying, until they're simply just a pair of gonads that release sperm into the female in response to hormonal cues in her blood. And this may sound completely bizarre, but it's quite a good strategy. If individuals of a species are scarce and widely spread out, having the male attached to her body all the time means that the female has a ready supply of sperm whenever she releases an egg. So it's a good strategy, really.
Yep, it makes perfect sense, the deep sea. And apparently sometimes they bring up females and they're covered in quite a few different males. So they can collect males so they've got as much sperm as they need. Well, there you have it, our top pick of glowing, glittering, sparkling ocean creatures. You can find out more about all those varieties of light makers, as well as links to some great studies about ocean bioluminescence at our webpage. That's thenakedscientist.com/oceans.